So writing a book is actually not that hard if you've taken the time to learn the foundations of writing first. So what are the most common writing mistakes and some big lessons that I've learned? All right, this one's a fun one. Some of my current students will like some of these. My first pet grieve with writing is the use of too many metaphors to try and sound like a really impressive writer. All of my students know this about me, and I teach this also in the 10 Days of Heart Writing. Recently, I hosted my old lecturer, who was the head of creative writing at UTS, in my advanced course to talk to us about her writing tips. And that was actually something she brought up as well, that when she went to her first editor, the first thing that they said to her was, "There's too many metaphors in your manuscript. You need to cut out pretty much all of them. You just need one metaphor to make a difference, to make an impact. One metaphor in each chapter." Isn't that crazy? You know, like it's one of the number one things that we're taught in poetry courses, and it's what we're most easily impressed with when we're reading poetry online. But this is going to change how you read. This is really going to change how you read because you will start to notice now, oh my God, that poet just used 20 metaphors to say one thing. And now the image is cluttered, it's unclean, you can't see anything. So, mixing metaphors that don't make sense together, like talking about a boat, and then suddenly you're talking about a fire, for example, when you're talking about one thing. So write that down now. How, you know, do I use too many metaphors? But the other thing you could ask yourself is, do I not use enough metaphors? Or an even better question is, do I not know what a metaphor is? It's okay to be asking questions like that. But basically, you know, just to break it down, you know, a metaphor is when we compare something to something else. So the clouds are like fluffy marshmallows, or the clouds are fluffy marshmallows sitting in the sky, pink, fluffy on the horizon, something like that. So it's when we compare something to something else, and it's something that's very human, tangible, you know. It makes us see and understand something so much better. But when we use too many of those, it can become very conflicting for the reader or for the listener. And editors at a professional level will tell you straight away, wow, that is just bad writing. Get rid of all of those metaphors. And they'll be very brutal. I'm just here to teach people that you can strip back a lot of that and be a really powerful writer. So, what other common writing mistakes? Too many characters and too much plot. You don't need more characters and you don't need more plot to make a story impressive. You can follow the narrative arc beautifully with just one character going on a walk down the street or going for a walk along the beach. If you strip back all of your huge ideas and practice writing a story about walking along a beach, and you can do that successfully, and you can touch the hearts of people without cramming so much in, then you've nailed it. And all that needs to happen on that story along the beach is a small conflict, a pang of anxiety, a realization, a bird swooping down. A sign, you know, a bird pooping on your shoulder. That's enough to create conflict. It doesn't have to be a complicated conflict for the character to learn something very important and teach us, the readers, something very important. The next tip is, if you can expand your genres and your breadth of reading, you're going to expand your knowledge as a writer. So, in my writing courses, I really challenge my readers, all of them, to read things that I know that they probably wouldn't have thought to read. And then they're at first annoyed with me, and then they fall in love. They start to understand, oh, wow, you know, like If it wasn't for being challenged, I don't think I ever would have thought to read something like this and enjoy something like this. And then it becomes really addictive. Read things that you wouldn't usually think to read. The next common writing mistake, not sitting down to learn the techniques that you need. My partner's a carpenter. He had to learn how to build a house, right? He had to go through all the learning of what are the foundations of building a house. It's a bit like someone coming in with absolutely no knowledge and they think, oh, yeah, I can build a house. I don't really need to know. I'm just going to wing it. I feel like writing is the same thing. If you haven't spent any time learning the particular techniques of building a story, how can you write a novel? So, yeah. People just not sitting down to learn a few techniques and just be humble in that learning. My next pet peeve about writing is capitals. People that throw capitals everywhere. You only use capitals for proper nouns, which is the names of things, official names of things. And people are often confused about what are official names of things. Okay, so I'll give you an example, a really common example, which I've seen a lot in my workshops. It's a really quick fix. It's not understanding the difference between my mum and mum. Hey, mum, have you got my hairbrush? In that instance, I'm using mum as her name, a proper noun, right? Hey, mum. So that's her name. When I say my mum had my hairbrush, when I put my in front of there, I'm not using her name anymore. I'm just describing, she is my mum. It's not an official name for her anymore. So you drop the caps. But it's really common that people will still say my mum with the caps. But if you think about it, mother or mum is just a word. It's not a proper noun, it's a noun. All mothers out there. So you wouldn't say all mothers with caps out there, but you would capitalize Mother's Day because that's the official name of that day, right? So it's just about starting to tune into what's official and what's not. My next pet peeve is using apostrophes for everything, including the 1960s. Because almost every one of my students has used this, because most people don't know. It's actually 1960s or 60s with no apostrophe. So spelling out the word as 60s rather than the numbers 60s, you'll see there's an IES at the end. So there's no need for the apostrophe because 1960s is just basically saying the 60s without the apostrophe. And there's no ownership. Now I'm not going to get into a lesson about ownership, apostrophe ownership right now, because that's a whole nother lesson. And within the level one workshop, we have masterclasses for little things like this if they're becoming big things within the group. And I've already got like a little archive now of masterclasses. So it's really easy to go into my workshop and just get like a quick lesson now because I've stored some of these masterclasses in my huge resource library. And the next one is, okay, so my last pet peeve is consistency with a choice. So when you're writing a short story or a novel, you need to be consistent about your choices. For example, there are two ways to spell the word focused that are both legitimate. The one way is focused with one S. The other way is focused with two S's. Both are fine. Some spellings are more American. You'll look at different dictionaries and they have different spellings. And you know that, Australian English has more S's than Z's, etc. But what you have to do is make a choice. So you have to create a style guide for your story or for your writing and make a decision. I'm only going to spell focused with one S all the time. And you have to keep a log of these things. And the other one is like using speech marks. You know how you can use speech marks with like single speech marks or double speech marks? Make a choice. Are you going to use just single speech marks or just double? So it's really complex, isn't it? When you start thinking of writing in this way, there's lots of different choices that you can make. And a lot of people just don't think about this before they start a writing course. But it's not all bad and it's not all confusing. It's actually really fun when you learn to just enjoy it. Enjoy the editing process. It's heaps and heaps of fun. One of the questions that I've had is, I love the artist's way. Is your course a bit like that book? I always say to people, you should read The Artist's Way, and I generate a lot of my learnings and teachings from The Artist's Way, but it goes beyond The Artist's Way. So if you've read The Artist's Way and you like The Artist's Way, you're probably going to like my method of teaching, but you're probably also going to be challenged because I'm going to ask you to step up into the academics of writing. Why did you quit your job as an editor? Mostly, in all honesty, mostly because I missed working with people. And secondly, it was a lot of nonfiction writing, feature article writing, really enjoyed putting the magazine together. But I wanted to get back to creative writing because that's what I'm trained in. So if you think you're taking a long time, don't worry. It's just part of being a writer. And, you know, when we were talking about Buddhism this morning and that acceptance about suffering, writing is so much about that. It's just an acceptance. It's not fun necessarily, but the outcome and the reward afterwards will probably be better than you could ever, ever, ever imagine. So the suffering is so worth it. The time that you devote to this is so worth it. And think of Liz Gilbert and what she says about working her writing around her career. She, in many of those early years of her writing, she was working a full-time job and writing her books just in like the hour before or after, or all of her weekends, or, you know, not sleeping sometimes so she could get her work done. There's so many different stories to share about writers that have really sacrificed themselves to get their books done. So yeah, that's the not nice part of heart writing that I've got to remind you, that it's okay if it's hard, it's meant to be hard. So let's do this together. I'm here with you doing that together, putting in those hours and the effort. Thank you so much for being part of this masterclass.
Lots of love to all of you.